Today is May 18, 2017, or it is just 22, 2021. We're starting our second service today with a song entitled Sunshine and the Soul. There's sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than those in any earthly star. For yonder is my light. All the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. Yester showed his smiling face. There's sunshine in the soul. There's music in my soul today. A carol to my King. And Yeshua listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine. When the peaceful, happy moments roll, Yahshua shows his smiling face, his sunshine in the soul. There's springtime in my soul today, oh, when Yahshua is near, a dove of peace sings in my heart. The flowers, the grace of faith. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine. When the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Yahshua shows his smiling face. His sunshine in my soul. There's goodness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love. Oh, blessing which he gives me now, oh, joy lit up above. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Yahshua shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Gentiles, part 33, Revelation chapter 10. Let's continue our series. Verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from the heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice. And when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from the heavens saying unto me, write, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So, the angel swear unto him that liveth forever and ever, Yahshua, and who created the heaven. Well, actually, the Father and the Son created the This is called the Father. I swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the Father, the heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are. Well, the earth is United States in prophecy, and the sea, and the things which are therein. Well, we know that fishes and all the different mammal species live in the sea. But we also know sea represents the old country, the rest of the world, outside of the earth, the United States. That there should be time no longer. So he swear by three. Heaven, the earth, the United States, because the United States judgment starts first here in this country, when you start the judgment of the living. Starts at the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. And I'll go, matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and turn that right quick and read that to you. 1 Peter 4:17. This is, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the blood of the everlasting covenant, the new and living way of the Yahshua, of the Yahweh? Now I'll read it just the way it's written now. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the doctrine or the teaching of the good news of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua and of his Father Yahweh? Now I added enough extra to that verse to make it probably double the size that it probably is. Now I'll go this time, for the third time, I'll read it just like it's written. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. What time is that? It's the beginning of the 12th hour, 2002. That was the time. This is when 1 Peter 4:17 met its fulfillment. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And as Adventists call that word gospel, they call it good news of the Father, Yahweh. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? Well, how is it that the righteous scarcely be saved? Well, it's because it's a remnant of them compared to a majority of the unsaved. And the righteous, it takes a lot of sacrifice and endurance and trials and tribulation to become righteous. That's not something that you just wave a magic wand and say, well, sprinkle a little clean water on and say, now be you pure. No, it don't work like that. What does it say? You have to be sanctified, purified, tried, and made white. Let's go read that there in Daniel chapter 12. Let's go read it right quick. It says about verse 10. And it says that many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Okay, now, it says the wise shall understand. Well, what about Revelation 17 that uses the same language in a certain scripture there? And we'll go read that, verse 12 to 14. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. He shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the sovereign of sovereign and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Okay, so those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Now, I have some new light that just broke open on this scripture here. And I'm going to reveal it to you. And start with verse 12 again, Revelation 17. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. Now these 10 kings are those kings that started with the fourth beast of Daniel. That fourth beast in Daniel's vision that represented pagan Rome at the cross, they were in charge of 10 horns and 7 heads. The heads mean that they're in charge of all the churches of the world, and the 10 kings mean that they were in charge of all the kingdoms of the world. That nondescript beast, pagan Rome, that fourth beast of Daniel's vision. Okay. Now those 10 horns showed up in 1798, when the 1260 years of the Inquisition was over the Catholic Church. Those 10 horns showed up on that leopard-like beast found in Revelation chapter 11. Except they had crowns on them. But when pagan Rome was in charge of them back 2,000 years ago, they had no crowns on them. It means that pagan Rome completely ruled over all the nations of the world back then, including Israel and Jerusalem. Okay? So now it says Revelation 17:12, and the 10 horns. All right, where the 10 horns finally, where their representatives finally end up? They end up at the White House in Washington, D.C., at our Congress and the Senate. There are Congress and senators are lawmakers. Okay? That's where the representatives of all these evil kingdoms of the world ended up. Washington, D.C. is called the Second Vatican. It's an alien nation. It's not even part of the United States. It's a part of the Italian government. Italy. That's what Washington, D.C. is. It's a branch of the Italian government. Alright. So it says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. Why have they not received a kingdom as yet? Because the Democrats and the Congress and the Republicans are busy fighting against each other at the House and the Senate there in Washington, D.C. They're called lawmakers. They're supposed to blend together and work together in passing laws and securing our nation, both economically and militarily and every which way. But what are they doing? They've gone after the greedy grab. They've been bought off by the by the lobbyists, special interest groups, and so in order to be bought off and take the bribe money for their own personal self and for their own personal gain, they had to agree to give their power to the President of the United States for 1 hour. So the President would look the other way. And the president didn't have any opposition when he wanted to pass rules and regulations. All he had to do was Obama, all he had to do in the 8 years he was in there, just pick up his pen and write it out and say, hey, I want this to go into effect today. This is my idea of what I want done right now. And so he'd write it up as an executive order and he would say, okay, now that is law without these 10 horns of approval. So that's what we call lending their power to the beast for 1 hour. The lawmakers of this country, representing all the nations of this world, say all you got to do is go read Revelation 18 to realize that all the merchants and kings of the world, they howl and lament for that woman, Mystery Babylon, when she comes to her end because her great merchandise has ceased. They made themselves rich by her merchandise. Okay? So it says, and the 10 horns of thou sawest are 10 kings, which represents all the kingdoms of the world, which have received no kingdom as yet. In other words, these 10 horns that represents all these evil kingdoms have collaborated with the president and give him the power to set up the new world order. And that's the kingdom that they were hoping to create through the president, so all the kingdoms of the world could become one kingdom of the new world order, fulfilling Mr. Babylon's mission to rule the world once again. So the question is asked, why are the ten horns coming together, it represents all the kingdoms of the world, to lend their power unto that beast, which represents the new world order, which represents a universal kingdom with a central organization at the head of it, and that's the Illuminati, the shadow government. The shadow government appeared at our Constitutional Convention in 1787, there in Philadelphia, and elected the first president, George Washington. Okay? And so the shadow government was there to put their operation in operation then. Alright? So now, these ten horns, which represents all the kings of the world, or these kings, they haven't received no kingdom as yet, because they're waiting for that kingdom to be completely solidified and validated and set up. And that would be when the mark of the beast goes in, when they get a complete power, and see what we don't understand is a Democrat and Republican are two political parties that were set up in this country. But Thomas Jefferson in 1800, our third president, he's the one that created the Democratic and Republican Party as one party. They weren't recognized as a two-party system at that time. And so when it come down to the Civil War in 1860, and Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, came on the scene, he was supposed to set up the New World Order, because the Democrats, Republicans are supposed to be one party agreeing together then. But the Democrats said, no, we want to be independent. We want to be a socialist party. And the Republicans said, no, we want to be a capitalistic, free enterprise party. And so the Democrats and Republicans parted ways in 1861, so to speak. That's when your two-party system was born, but it really started out as a one-party system. So now here we come back again today, and here this year Democrats and this liberal Republicans have come together once again as one party. But we have a outsider, Donald Trump, raised up by Yahweh's antipical Shars, that is an antipical king. He's an independent, he's an outsider. He has come in, and he's slaying the dragon that's in the sea, Isaiah 27. That old Leviathan, that dragon in the sea, he's slaying him. By setting up a one-party system, once again, the Republican Party. But it's a new Republican Party, and the liberal Republican Party and the Democrats have united against this third party, which is a super independent Republican Party that is conservative. And all those Republicans that have come over now, crossed over, they left the liberal Republican Party, and they have joined the conservative Republican Party of Donald Trump, the third party system. This is a third party system running on the Republican ticket. Not running on a third party ticket, but running on a Republican ticket to stay within the bureaucratic system, and yet he's an outsider sitting up. In other words, Donald Trump is dissolving the Democratic and Republican Party once and for all. This Democratic and Republican Party is set up by Thomas Jefferson in 1800, the third president of the United States. And the Democratic Party was new modeled in 1828 by by Andrew Jackson, our 7th president. Andrew Jackson was a socialist he was a social liberal, and he formed the new Democratic Party because the Republicans and the Democratic Party had ganged upon him in 1824 and kept Andrew Jackson from becoming president in 1824. And so he waited out the 4 years for that to be over with, and in 1828 he formed a whole new Democratic Party. It was a one-party system. Okay. So the Democratic Party then was in operation in 1860 when Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, came into power, and he trained under the communists that was formed in 1830. Abraham Lincoln trained under them. And he trained under them for 30 years. And then there was a shadow government, the Illuminati. They trained him and he became president. And he ran on a Republican ticket. Well, then that's the Democratic Party, which wanted to be a lone party by itself, then went to fighting against Abraham Lincoln, just like they're fighting against Donald Trump today. They're rising up against a new branch of the Republican Party that has emerged again in the form of Abraham Lincoln back in 1860-61. So folks, this thing is deeper than we even know. And now I understand why Yahweh called me 47 years ago and he put it in my heart to get a knowledge on the political and the religious landscape of all the occultic religions. And I have studied all the aspects that the Holy Spirit has given me to look into. And so without this vast many years of research and knowledge, I couldn't start to tell you this stuff off the top of my head. But this is what Yahweh has blessed me with, and this is what I know is coming together now, and this has to be detailed out. This is awesome, the history of our country and how it was laid out and formed with a constitution of two governments. One, a visible government that is represented by our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and our invisible government was represented by the, they call it a shadow government, invisible government, by the Illuminati. And it was a three-party system that formed the shadow government back in 1787. And that was the Illuminati, the Masons, and the Jesuits. Well, the Jesuits are in Washington, D.C. Every member of the FBI is a Jesuit. Every member. Every member of the CIA, Secret Service, are Jesuits. The Jesuits own the secret services around the world. The Mossad in Israel, the KGB in Russia, and the Secret Service in Great Britain and England. The Jesuits own all of the secret services, and they have one vow: that's to destroy all religions that even names Yahshua as their Savior and Redeemer. That is the number one mission in the world. And by the way they did, they infiltrate governments, they infiltrate colleges, they infiltrate all school systems, all municipal governments, local governments, townships, clear down to the cook and the chef. They have taken over the whole world. This is really what we're fighting against. And keep in mind, these Jesuits hate the beast. They don't. But the beast is their front symbol. They have to have that beast, because they were created by that beast, and so, but they hate the beast. Now, having said all that, I'm going to go back and read to you now Revelation 17, start with verse 12 again. and read it through about verse 14. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That's your Catholic Church, New World Order, Shadow Government, Mystery Babylon, all rolled into one. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Sovereign of Sovereigns and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Okay, now I'm going to go back and read to you Isaiah 44, verse 28. Start there and then read Isaiah 45, 1 through 13. And I want to show you something here, how this Lamb has shown up with his antitypical king, Cyrus, the heathen pagan king. All right? But this heathen pagan king is a good guy, and he converts very easily to Judaism. So in Isaiah 44, verse 28, it says, "Thus says, that saith of the Sabbath, he is my shepherd." This is Yahshua talking. "And shall perform all my pleasure, even saying unto Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and unto the temple thy foundation shall be laid." So what has Donald Trump done? His first overture was, after he became president, was to Israel. He says that the embassy of the United States is going to be moved to Jerusalem. But it's a little bit too soon for that right now, but it will happen. As a matter of fact, all embassies of the world that are in Tel Aviv, Israel, are going to be moved to Jerusalem, solidifying Jerusalem as the capital. The whole city is the capital of Israel. And said that when that embassy shows up there, that means the Arab nations know that they're forever through of laying any claim to Israel being any, their capital. Once that embassy goes there, that will be a sign to them. Okay, so it says that this Cyrus is going to perform all my pleasure, even send unto Jerusalem. Thou shalt be built, and unto the temple thy foundation shall be laid. But what did typical Cyrus do whenever he overthrew Babylon? First thing he did was he set this Judaites that had been in captivity for 70 years, he set them free. And what did he do? He ordered them to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem. And then not only that, but he says, I'll furnish the finances and I'll furnish the transportation. All you have to do is just get your clothing together and food, and gird yourself and get ready for the journey. And he said, I'll send my soldiers to lead you back to Jerusalem. So, why was that? Because the Jews were in no mood to migrate back to Jerusalem after they were delivered from Belshazzar, Babylon, at the end of their 70-year captivity. They were in no mood to go back. They became self-satisfied as long as they weren't being harmed by their captors. They didn't. They just soon stay where they was at, because many of them had made homes there and had married Babylonian Chaldean wives, and they were raising families there, and they were just happy as they could be because the Chaldean government wasn't oppressing them. Because Yahweh ordered Nebuchadnezzar, when he took them captive 70 years earlier, he says, don't you oppress my people. Just take them and let them be free and sovereign under your captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar did that. But Belshazzar, that succeeded Nebuchadnezzar before the 70 years was up, Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He succeeded him when he was a different man. He oppressed the Jews. And a lot of them did want to go back all right when they were delivered by Cyrus, but most of them didn't. Okay? So Yahweh raised up persecution in Babylon to drive those that wouldn't go back with the 50,000 that the Tsars gave the command and order for them to do that, those that wouldn't go back, he raised up persecution on those that wouldn't go back to Jerusalem. And so, anyway, it says, thus says Tsars, Isaiah 44:28, he is my shepherd. So Yahweh, that saith the Tsars. Let's go back and read down. Start with verse 24. The Yeshua will renew people and city. Thus saith the Yeshua, thy Redeemer. Now we know that Yeshua, the Son, is the Redeemer of Israel by his blood, by his oath he made with his Father that if sin were to come into the world, that he would offer up his own life and shed his own blood for their redemption. And so by that oath and promise, Yahweh turned the world over to his Son Yahshua to run it. Okay, so this is Yahshua running the world back then. Thus saith Yahshua, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Yahshua that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Now what did Yahweh say about his Son? Yahweh created all things by his power, but he says, I did it by my Son. My Son was one that had hands-on operation. I just give him the power. And I orchestrated. And he and I together with my power, we created all things. But his Son is a co-creator. That's what we're dealing with here. Verse 25, that frustrated the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turns wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messenger, that saith unto Yahusha, thou shalt be inhabited, and unto the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That saith unto the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy river. That saith unto Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying unto Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and unto the temple thy foundation shall be laid. And that's exactly what was fulfilled under Cyrus's decree. Him and Darius, the two decrees, were made between those two kings. One succeeded the other. Darius was Cyrus's first-hand general that led his army for him. Okay, now in Isaiah 45, it says, thus saith the Yahweh, unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates. What's the two-leaved gates blocking? The entrance into Babylon. Those two-leaved gates was built over the top of a flowing river. And so you got the flowing river underneath, and you got the two-leaved gates folded together in the middle of that river, and they're locked together. It's kind of hard for, and then you've got a 50-foot wall around this palace. It's kind of hard for a army to come into that, but it happened because Cyrus's angel went and loosed the two-leaved gates. Cyrus diverted the water of the river, and it was diverted, and the riverbed dried up, and Cyrus and his army, they marched through dry shod on the bottom of the river. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. That's what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump is in there, and he's breaking in pieces the gates of brass, and he's cutting in sunder the bars of iron. That'll never be put back together again. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, Yahshua, which call thee by thy name, Cyrus, am the King of Israel. For the Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee, Cyrus, Donald Trump, by thy name. And that name is in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for beginners. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And whenever he put that, when Yahweh put that word Trump in the Bible, representing a trumpet, it also represented the name of this antitypical Cyrus, Donald Trump. And Yahweh put that in the prophecies, and he put that in the scripture before the Cyrus of the type was even born. He says, I am, verse 5, Yeshua, and there is none else. There is no Yahweh beside me. There is no king beside thee. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Yahshua, and there is none else. Now, Yahshua is telling Donald Trump, antitypical shot, that I named you when you didn't even know me. But now Donald Trump is praising the name of Yahshua, and he's calling him by his right name, and he's worshiping him and believing in his Sabbath and the holy days of Judaism, the feast days, that we, the time that we keep. He believes in all that. Of course, it's not that easy for him to function and with the synagogues on those days because of him being president, but he believes in it, acknowledges it, that that's the truth. That's the true religion of the world, Judaism. So he says in Isaiah 45:7, he says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Yahshua, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down in righteousness. Let the open, the earth open, and let him bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Yahshua, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashions it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hand. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or unto the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hand. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heaven, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up, antitypical Cyrus, Donald Trump, in righteousness. That's the reason why Donald Trump is going to prevail. Yahshua raised him up in righteousness. Donald Trump didn't know this, but he's been raised up in righteousness. He's according to verse 1 and 2, it says, Isaiah 45, thus saith Yahshua unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, Donald Trump, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. So those two-leaved gates have been opened, and they're not going to be shut again, and Donald Trump is not going to be impeached. He's not going to be overthrown. He's going to stay there until he fulfills his prophecy right here in Isaiah 45:13. He says, I have raised him up, Donald Trump, and the typical Cyrus, in the righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith Yahshua of hosts. Thus saith Yahshua, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaean men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Yahweh is in thee, and there is none other. There is no other God. There is no other earthly pagan heathen God. There's not one. And there's no other living Elohim or deity besides myself. Okay, let's go now back to where we left off in Revelation 17. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 10. Let's read verse 6 again. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when shall when he shall begin to sound, this is that seventh trumpet, the mystery of Yahweh should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. What's the mystery of Yahshua? The plan of the salvation through the new and living way is understood once for the first time by those that are being harvested. Because they're having to be taught that new song. The blood of the everlasting covenant through the Yahshua is how they are saved, not through the animal sacrifices of old. All those that were saved by the animal sacrifices had gone into their graves, they had been resurrected, and they had been accounted for. But all those that are saved by the blood of Yahshua hadn't been accounted for yet. But it's a mystery that's going to be made open up to the whole world here in this 12th hour, how they're saved by the blood of Yahshua. Verse 8, and the voice which I heard from the heavens spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and towns and kings. So we know that William Miller's message of the 2300 days, he taught for 10 years, 1833 to 1844. He said, Yahshua is going to come in 1844. He's going to destroy the earth by fire, and he's going to take his waiting saints to heaven. That was what they understood, according to what I just read you here, about it being in their mouth sweet as honey. That message is in their mouth as sweet as honey. But as soon as it didn't come to pass the way it was prophesied in 1844, then it became bitter in their mouth. But the Adventists, Ellen G. White, were commanded to pick up the banner and to go again unto many nations declaring the second coming of Yahshua once again. That it was yet future. And they were the ninth hour call laborers. William Miller was teaching this coming of Yahshua under the sixth hour in 1833-1844. But the ninth hour, preaching this in the seventh, eighth, and ninth parabolic hour. But Yahshua called Ellen G. White at the end of the ninth parabolic hour in 1844. And to take that message and to prophesy it again for the Adventists, for to prophesy that again unto many nations again. Okay. So now that's the end of chapter 10. And now chapter 11. Now this is good because chapter 11 goes to Zechariah 4. And if you put those two full prophecies together, and oh, you've got a whole series once again. When you start dealing with Isaiah 11 and Zechariah 4, you can take the whole book of Zechariah and you could tie in right here with the whole book of Revelation for that matter. Alright, let's go ahead. First verse, the two witnesses prophesy. The two witnesses I want to introduce to you then as the Old and the New Testament scriptures that are open up. And that's That's how they witness. That's how they become witnesses. When they are understood, when the Old and New Testament flows together into compacted prophecy that's opened up under Yahweh's antitypical servant, antitypical Elijah, that's preaching to you right now, whenever those prophecies are being interpreted and opened up, then know that the two witnesses have risen up on their feet once again and are testifying. Why would they testify if they didn't have somebody to understand what they were saying? There wouldn't be no need for it. Okay, so it says in Revelation 11, verse 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and them that worketh therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months. And you know, in actuality, I should have named this series, not just Gentiles alone, I should have named it Jews and Gentiles. Matter of fact, when I get through with this Gentile series, I get through the book of Revelation, I'm going to go back and start with Genesis, hopefully, and start with a new series called Jews and Gentiles, starting with Adam and Eve, down to the end of time. I'm going to start a new series called Jews and Gentiles, how they flow together all through the ages. All right. Now, in the first verse of Revelation 11, we're dealing with the number of 144,000. That's what the reed is by measuring. Measuring means the number. It's an exact number. And that's done in the temple. But the outer court is outside of the temple. That represents the Gentile. And so it says in verse 2, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. Don't number it, because the Gentiles that are him to come are without number. But there's no number now. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Here's a 3.5-year period that they tread underfoot. Okay? So now, this 42 months has a twofold application. In Revelation 13, verse 5, he says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So there's a 42 months there. There's a 42 months here in Revelation 11. 2, there's a 42 months in Revelation 13:5, and they both go together. So we're going to come together, and we're going to explain these 42 month periods and their beginnings and their completion. Verse 3 of Revelation 11, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in the sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing for the Elohim of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, which is Lucifer, Satan, shall make war against them, and he shall overcome them and kill them. So I told you this 42 months has a double application. It has its application also during the Dark Ages from 538 to 1798. There's a 42-month period there, and this is when the beast made war against the saints for 1260 years, during the Catholic Inquisition of 538 to 1798. But it's going to be a repeat of this, but only in a shorter length of time, just a 3.5-year period of time during the 12th hour, because there's no time. Time is no more to have to bear out our whole 1260 years again. There's no reason for it anyway. and their dead bodies shall lie on the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. So it says that these two witnesses, the Old and New Testament, shall lie on the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. So, who killed the Old and New Testament in the past? The Catholic Church during the Dark Ages. Alright? Who helped them destroy the Word by fire? The French Revolution. Okay, 1793. Okay, it says, and their dead bodies, the Old and the New Testament scriptures, shall lie in the street of the great city. What great city? Mystery Babylon. Read about that in Revelation 17, verse 5. Let's go read it. It says that, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. Okay, there you have it. So it says in Revelation 11, it says, verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So there's the 1,260 years. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Yahweh of the earth. Okay, these are the two olive trees. Two olive trees represents the Old and New Testament. The two candlesticks represents the sanctuary system under the law of Moses for 4,000 years from Adam through down to Christ. And the other candlestick on the right side of that golden bowl, or Zechariah 4, represents the New Testament sanctuary system. That's restored. And that sanctuary system was restored in 1970 by Brother Shanti, standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, far proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as he will. Okay, this is the New Testament. Once they are opened up, they have prophecies in them that has to be fulfilled according to their timeline. And so you have to have a prophet, though, on the scene interpreting them and giving a timeline on them. Verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Savior was crucified. And there the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and now suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. Okay, that 3 days and a half is 3.5 years. That's 42 months. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Okay, so these two prophets show up in the United States. Earth and prophecy is the United States. This is where this prophecy is meeting its fulfillment. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. So these two witnesses stood upon their feet as two people, as two, kings, for instance. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory unto the Elohim of heaven. for the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. All right, now we're coming to the seventh trumpet now. Verse 15 of Revelation 11. And the seventh trumpet sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Yahweh the Father, and of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever. All right, now this has already met its fulfillment as far as the timeline to begin this prophecy, and that was with Donald Trump and typical Shard. When he became president January the 20th, that's when this prophecy kicked in, that's when the seventh trumpet kicked in of 2017. And the 24 elders which sat before Yahweh on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped Yahweh, saying, we give thee thanks, O Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken unto thee thy great power. Remember I said that Yahweh has the power. He supplies it to his Son when his Son needs it. He supplies it to anybody that needs it. When they need it, if they call upon him, and they are in need, he will give it to them, and has reigned. And the nations were angry. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Aren't the nations angry today? They are angry like they have never been in the history of the world. All because of what's taking place right now, because Yahweh has raised up and fulfilled this prophecy here in Revelation 11. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. So Yahshua's wrath has come, and the nations are angry. And the time of the day that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and unto the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So haven't the wicked man done everything in his power to destroy the earth, and even so today are just working full time, 24/7, destroying the earth? The Amazon River, for instance, is 3,000 miles long. Did you know they've gone down into the Amazon region, and they have literally destroyed that region for 3,000 miles? They've gone into Africa, that's 3 or 4 times bigger than the United States, has 700 million population. They've gone in there and destroying that wildlife, and just by the hundreds of thousands, elephants, and they're an endangered species now. All right, let's go on. It says, so he's going to destroy those wicked men that destroy the earth. Well, Donald Trump is going to put a stop to all that carnage that's going on in the world, physically. He's a visible king with a visible kingdom. He's going to put a stop to all of that. Okay, it says, and the temple of Yahweh was opened in heaven. This is verse 19 of Revelation 11. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and a great hail. Well, you know what? This brings in verse 30. It's how you can contact us at the 11th hour call. And remember, let us click on the audio archives to hear this message. And more, we're going to close now with a song. Who at my door standing? Lonely without his staying, with him in heart, constellated, I am to him seek God. Sweetly the tones have fallen, open the door for me. Discover his my calling, I will abide with thee. Good of my heart I hasten, even the hope that I